ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So I have found some very nice verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam which will help us to appreciate Lord Ramachandra and inspire and enthuse us. This first verse will be an impetus for you to attentively hear this class. Purusha Ramacharitam Shravanai Rupadharaya Nan Rishingasya Paro Rajan Karma Bandaya Vimuchyate. Shukadeva Goswami was narrating the summary of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes to Maharaj Parikshit. And in the midst of that narration, he said this very nice verse. O King Parikshit, anyone who orally receives the narrations concerning the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes will ultimately be freed from the disease of envy and thus be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities. So this is impetus to listen carefully. The disease of envy is the original sin. And to be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities means you become liberated and you go back to the kingdom of God. Now this next verse will give you a glimpse into one aspect of this name, Ram. Can everybody say? Ramante yogino nante satyanande chidatmani iti rama padenasau parang brahma vidhiyate. The Supreme Absolute Truth is called Ram because transcendentalists take pleasure in the unlimited true pleasure of spiritual existence. So when we chant this Maha Mantra, we are taught by the Vedas that if you chant 1,000 names of God 3 times, you get the same benefit by chanting once the name Ram. Wow. Is that something? Everybody say Rama. 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 Then there's another verse that says if you chant the name Ram 3 times, which I think we just did, you get the same benefit from once uttering this name Krishna. Can everybody say?
Krishna.
So I like to sometimes say, depending on the audience, that this Maha Mantra that we chant, there are thousands and thousands of mantras in the Vedas, but this Maha Mantra, I especially like to say this in college classrooms. This Maha Mantra is the mantra on steroids. As you can see how powerful it is. So let's chant the Maha Mantra, everybody. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Then the next verse, this is not from Srimad Bhagavatam, but there is a very famous and very, very esoteric book called the Gita Govinda. And the author of that book, Vidyapati, in the beginning of that book, he has put in what is known as Dashavatar Stotram, depicting 10 specific avatars are incarnations of Krishna. And the one verse that appears deals with Lord Ramachandra. Vitarasi dikshurane dikpati kamaniyam dashamukha mauli balim ramaniyam keshavadrita ramashurira jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare. O Keshava. Keshava is a name for God, Krishna. It has three meanings. One, Krishna once killed the horse demon, Keshi. So his name is Keshava. Another meaning is that Krishna's hair is very, very fine. Very nice, fine hair. So therefore he's known as Keshava. And then a third meaning of Keshava is that he controls Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Therefore he is known as Keshava. Let's all say that holy name.
Keshava.
O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, you have assumed the form of Ramachandra. Everybody?
Ramachandra.
All glories to you. In the battle of Lanka, you destroy the ten-headed demon Ravan and distribute his heads as a delightful offering to the presiding deities of the ten directions. Ten directions, northeast, southwest, northwest, northeast, southwest, southwest. That's eight. Up, down. Ten directions. This action was long desired by all the deities who were very much harassed by this monster, Ravan. And if you read the Ramayana or Shukadeva Goswami's summary of the Ram Leela, the highlight is when, I won't spoil it. There's a verse coming up that will depict that scene. If you're ready to proceed, say, Hare Rama. Okay, so now the next verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam. Suta Goswami is speaking to the sages of Naimisharanya. And he's giving a very quick summary of 20 different avatars of the Lord. So he says, in the 18th incarnation, the Lord appeared as King Rama in order to perform some pleasing work for the demigods. He exhibited superhuman powers by controlling the Indian Ocean and killing the atheist King Ravana, who was on the other side of the sea. So he just gave a very quick capsule summary of Ram Leela. Then we go to the second canto. Lord Brahma, the creator, is speaking to his son Narada. And he too is giving a quick summary of different incarnations, avatars of the Lord. And for almost all of them, he just gives one verse. But when he comes to Lord Ram, he has three. Let's hear these verses. Lord Brahma said to Narada, due to his causeless mercy upon all living entities within the universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with his plenary extensions, appeared in the family of Maharaj Ikshvaku. That Ikshvaku dynasty is the sun dynasty. Krishna, he appears in the moon dynasty, Soma Vansha. But Lord Ramachandra appears in the Surya Vansha. He appeared in the family of Maharaj Ikshvaku as the lord of his internal potency, Sita. Let's all say that holy name, Sita. As was pointed out earlier, we say Hare Rama, we say Sita Ram, we say Lakshmi Narayan. The potency is addressed first, then the potent. He entered the forest and lived there for considerable years with his wife and younger brother. So that younger brother was Lakshman, And if you read the Ramayana, the first part of the Ramayana is how Lord Ram is cheated out of ascending to the throne because the mother of his brother Bharat, his mother became polluted, and she became consumed with jealousy and envy. And she had two boons, which she had gotten because she once saved her husband on the battlefield. And so he said, "Yes, I will give you two boons." So she said, "I won't take them now." Postdated later. So when it came time for Lord Ram to be crowned Prince Regent, Dasharath, his father, could see that he was getting old. It was time to anoint the next king. Kaikeyi, Bharat's mother, became polluted by one of her servants, Mantara, and poisoned her mind. And so Kaikeyi went to her husband and said, "You promised me two boons. I am now cashing in. I want my son, Bharat, to be established as king. And that's not all. For my second, I want Ram banished to the forest for 14 years. This cracked Dasharath's heart. He could not tolerate it. And if you read the Ramayana, it goes on, page after page, describing how Dasharath and Ram's mother Kausalya and everybody in Ayodhya, everybody was devastated by what Kaikeyi said. Just because of this one action, the whole city of Ayodhya, everyone was put into lamentation, deep, deep lamentation. So much so that when Ram and his wife Sita and brother Lakshman actually left for the forest, Dasharath died. And how did he die? Chanting the name of his son. And it is described, Dasharath went back home, back to the kingdom of God. Because we all know from Bhagavad Gita that whatever you're thinking of at the time of death determines what your next life is. So he was chanting his son's name, but his son was not just a son. His son is the supreme personality of Godhead, Ram. Everybody say that beautiful. Yes, that's how he gave up his life, with a broken heart. He felt so, so terrible that he could not prevent this evil deed from happening. So Ram entered the forest on the order of his father only. Ram felt that, yes, so many things, that's all right, but I must keep true the word of my father. And for the past 5 days, I've been reading Ramayana, and one thing I am seeing is that over and over again, it is being shown how in Vedic culture, the obedience to the parents is considered such a high, high moral ethic. Obedience to the parents. And Ram showed it to the highest degree. Renounced the throne. 14 years living in the forest just to protect the word and honor of his father. And how Ram speaks even to Kaikeyi and to everyone. So exemplary this person, Lord Ram. Not even ideal, beyond ideal. Perfectly ideal. He entered the forest and lived there for considerable years with his wife and younger brother. Ravan, who was very materially powerful, with 10 heads on his shoulders, committed a great offense against him and was thus ultimately vanquished. What was that offense? He kidnapped his wife, Sita. But he did not really kidnap Sita, because someone like Ravana can't even really see the real Sita. What to speak of touch, what to speak of, Ravan was cheated. We learn this from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's a section where there was a South Indian Brahmin, and he had invited Lord Chaitanya for a meal. Usually you eat meal at midday. It was 3 o'clock. He still hadn't cooked. So Lord Chaitanya said, excuse me, you invited me to cook. But the problem was, this Brahmin was so absorbed in Ram Leela that he was actually oblivious to everything. And he spoke to Lord Chaitanya. He said, I can't understand how Ravan could kidnap the universal mother Sita. He said, how is this possible? Lord Chaitanya said, no, he didn't kidnap Sita. He kidnapped Maya Sita, a shadow, an illusory form of Sita, a material form, not the real Sita. Impossible. So the Brahmin was not convinced. So Lord Chaitanya said, I will find the proof. So Lord Chaitanya left. He finally, the Brahmin cooked, by the way. He cooked. So Lord Chaitanya went to a temple, and there he saw in the Kurma Purana exactly what he had told the Brahmin. And so Lord Chaitanya actually took the pages out of the book, because he said, I got to show the Brahmin, not just tell him, I got to show him, here it is. So they copied the book and they allowed Lord Chaitanya to take those pages. He went back to the Brahmin and said, see, everything I said here is true. That Sita was not kidnapped by Ravan. And then later, when she was tested by the fire, it was proven Sita's chastity was there, and Ravan was cheated with a Maya Sita. But even for that, Ravan was severely punished and killed. Brahma continues. The personality of Godhead Ramachandra, being aggrieved for his distant intimate friend Sita, glanced over the city of the enemy Ravan with red hot eyes, like those of Hara, Lord Shiva, who once wanted to burn the kingdom of heaven. The great ocean, trembling in fear, gave him his way because its family members, the aquatics, like the sharks, snakes, and crocodiles, were being burnt by the heat of the angry red-hot eyes of the Lord. In this verse, Prabhupada, in making his comments, says, here is proof of the divinity of Lord Ram. He's not an ordinary man. Who do you know can just glance at the ocean and make it red hot? None of you. Not me. No, it requires a supernatural being who just by his glance can make the whole ocean hot. So hot that the aquatics are suffering. Third verse by Lord Brahma to his son. This is the one I was referring to. So, I will set the scene. So, Ravan kidnapped Sita. So, Ram gathered an army who were actually demigods, but they took the form of monkeys, headed by Sugriva and Hanuman. And they helped Ram cross the ocean, and then there was a big battle between Ram and his monkey army and Ravana and his demon army. It was a big battle. So here's where Lord Brahma is talking. When Ravana was engaged in the battle, the trunk of the elephant which carried the king of heaven, Indra, broke into pieces. Wow. So Ravana, super powerful. He had been given boons by Lord Brahma. Practically, he was invincible. Having collided with the chest of Ravana, and the scattered parts illuminated all directions, Ravana therefore felt proud of his prowess and began to loiter in the midst of the fighting soldiers, thinking himself the conqueror of all directions. We have an expression, pride comes before the fall. Here is classic example. He's thinking now, who can defeat me? I am the omnipotent. I can really identify with Ravana. I am invincible. Just look. Indra's elephant collided with my chest. I'm here. So he's loitering, thinking, I am winning. But his laughter, overtaken by joy, along with his very life air, suddenly ceased with the tingling sound of the bow of Ramachandra, the personality of Godhead. So he was proud for a moment, but then Lord Ram shot his bow and arrow, and Ravana was finished. Lord Ramachandra Bhagavan ki. So those are the three verses by Lord Brahma. Now, I introduce to you from Bhagavatam, prayers of Lord Ramachandra's faithful, humble, dedicated servant, Hanuman. Whenever there is talk of Lord Ram, there has to be the mention of this great devotee, Hanuman. He is known as Bhaktaraj, the king of devotees. After the battle, when Sita was reunited with Lord Ram, and they were going to return back after 14 years of exile, they were now going to back to Ayodhya. Lord Ram wanted to give Hanuman benedictions because it was Hanuman who consoled Sita. He was sent there. It was Hanuman who burnt down the city of Lanka, Ravana's city, because when they captured Hanuman, they put his tail on fire. But Hanuman danced and set the whole golden city of Lanka on fire, destroyed it. So Hanuman did lots of service for Lord Ram. And the Lord is not an ingrate. He's very grateful to the service of his devotees. And the Lord likes to become Bhakta Vatsal, the devotee of his devotee. So he wanted to give Hanuman a benediction. Hanuman said, no. I simply want to be your servant. Nothing more, nothing less. Same thing, Prahlad Maharaj, when he was tested by Lord Nrisimha, said the same thing. So the Hanuman is Bhaktaraj. He sees himself, no, I am simply Lord Ram's servant. That is his ecstasy. And if you read, there's one chapter in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Advaita Acharya is explaining how being a devotee and having the mood of a devotee is a better ecstasy than being God himself. Which I find to be fascinating. Because everybody here in Hollyweird wants to be God. They all want to be the center of attention, the controller, the enjoyer, and everybody love me. So everybody's trying to be God in the material world, but Advaitacharya and all the incarnations say, you know what? We would much rather be the servant of God because that is a greater ecstasy. Look at Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. They are God, but they're coming as how? Devotees. Because they want to taste that special ecstasy that only devotees can taste. You all know Lakshmi, the better half of Narayan. Where, and Lakshmi is permanently on the chest of the Lord. Her mark is there, Sri Vatsa. She's Lord Narayan's wife. The wife is always supposed to rest her head on the chest of the husband. But you see pictures of Lakshmiji. Where is she? At the feet. Why? Is it because the Lord's feet is dirty? No. She wants that nectar that only the devotees taste. Being the humble, menial servant of the Lord. Krishna's wives in Dwaraka, same thing. When Draupadi was meeting the wives of Krishna at Kurukshetra, Draupadi asked, can you please each tell me how you got Krishna as your husband? Because Draupadi was very, very faithful, devoted to Krishna. Even though Draupadi is married to the five Pandavas, still she had special affection for Krishna. So Draupadi was curious, how did each of you get Krishna as your husband? And each, if you read in the Bhagavatam, each one, starting with Rukmini, all the eight principal wives, and all the 16,100 wives represented by Rohini, they all said the same thing. I may be Krishna's wife, but you know what? I see myself as his maid servant. Where do you see that, huh? If you ask any wife out there, are you your husband's maidservant? Hell no, you talk. But these queens of Dwaraka, they honestly, genuinely feel we are... What to speak of that? Srimati Radharani also says the same thing. If you read that final chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Chaitanya explains Shikshastakam, and for the final eighth verse, Srimati Radharani speaks, and she explains, and she too says, I see myself as Krishna's maidservant. So the ecstasy of being a devotee is the highest ecstasy. And when we chant this Maha Mantra, that is the mood of being the maid servant of Krishna. So let's all chant now with full love and devotion together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So Hanuman is described here by Shukadeva Goswami. Hanuman lives in a certain region called Kim Purusha Varsha. And he is always engaged with the inhabitants of that land in devotional service to Lord Ramachandra, the elder brother of Lakshman and dear husband of Sita Devi. A host of Gandharvas is always engaged in chanting the glories of Lord Ramachandra. That chanting is always extremely auspicious. So we had the fire sacrifice. Did we chant the thousand names of Ram, or what was it? Vishnu Sahasranam? All right, we chanted the thousand names of God. We also chanted the Maha Mantra, during the Abhishek. So we have been following in their footsteps. We also have been constantly chanting for several hours now, and it will continue. Hanuman and Narishtasena, the chief person in Kim Purusha Varsha, constantly hear those glories with complete attention. So that's the secret. There are 10 offenses in chanting. The 10th offense is inattentive chanting. Some people say that's the root of all the other offenses, is inattentive chanting. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sutta Goswami points out the secret of his success, that he heard from Shukadeva Goswami with rapt attention. So that is the secret, to become completely absorbed in hearing and chanting. So Hanuman chants the following mantras. Now this first one is a very nice Sanskrit verse. Allow me to chant. Om namo bhagavate uttamashlokaya, nama arya lakshana shila vrataya, nama upashikshatatmana upasata lokaya, nama sadhuvada nikashanaya, namo brahmanya devaya, mahapurushaya, maharajaya, nama iti. Let me please your lordship by chanting the Bij Mantra Omkar. Bij Mantra means seed. The mantra has a seed. Om, when we were doing the fire yajna, you were chanting Kleem Ramaya Swaha, right? You were chanting that. So that Kleem is another spiritual seed vibration like Om. I wish to offer my respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, who is the best among the most highly elevated personalities. In the Bhagavad Gita, you see this word, Purushottama. Everybody please say. That means the best person, the topmost person, transcendental person. Hanuman is saying, yes, I want to offer my obeisances to the best. Your lordship is the reservoir of all good qualities. Your character and behavior are always consistent. This I saw this week by reading the Ramayana. Lord Ramachandra's behavior, the way he speaks, the way he conducts himself, always exemplary and always consistent, never wavering. Always the topmost behavior. Ideal king, ideal husband, ideal son. Even though he was told to renounce the kingdom and live in the forest for 14 years, he didn't complain. And even when so many other people gave him options how he could get out of it, morally, religiously, he said no. I will keep the word of my father intact. That was his only thought. I must keep the word of my father. Hanuman continues, you always control your senses and mind. Yes, there are many scenes in the Ramayana where Lord Ramachandra is becoming overwhelmed with compassion for his mother, for the citizens of Ayodhya, for his brothers. But it is always explained, even though he is feeling intense emotion, he's able to control it and always act most appropriately for the time, place, and circumstances. You exhibit exemplary character to teach others how to behave. This is one of the main things of this Ram Leela. He was showing how to be a perfect human being. He's not a human being. He looks like a human being. He plays the role of a human being, but he's God. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. Now Hanuman says, just as there is a touchstone that can be used to examine the quality of gold, you are like a touchstone that can verify all good qualities. So if you read in the Bhagavatam, this Ram Leela in the 9th canto, or if you happen to read the Ramayana, you will learn so many wonderful lessons of how to be a good father, a good mother, a good wife, a good son. This Ramayana is chock full of so many beautiful examples of how the best kind of human being exists. You are the supreme person. You are the king of kings. And therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. He continues, the Lord, whose pure form, Satchit Ananda Vigraha, is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature. This is an important part. That we can never entertain the thought that when God descends to this earth, that he becomes contaminated. That he somehow or other becomes affected by the material energy. You and me, we are very much affected by the material energy. You all know how this body and mind, the environment, the weather affects us. Sometimes we're in a good mood. Sometimes we're in a foul mood. So we should never entertain the idea, oh yes, when God comes, he also... No. This is the point here. Hanuman is saying, the Lord is never affected by the modes of material nature. He is always transcendental. If I am to think like that, that God is somehow affected by the material energy, I immediately become an atheist. That means I don't understand what is God. By definition, God is always transcendental, unaffected. He may play. That's the whole thing. It's a drama. We use this word, leela. Leela means a drama is going on. Whether it be this Ram Leela or Krishna Leela, we are seeing so many things going on. Keep in mind, it's all a dramatic performance. That's why I've always said, I'm waiting for the day when the Academy Award says, and we will give the Lifetime Universal Achievement Award to Ram and Krishna for their roles in the Ramayana and Krishna Leela. Yes. But that day will never come. Only in my dream. Because he is not subjected to material vision, he is known as transcendental. He has no material activities, nor has he a material form or name. Yes, we don't chant material sound vibrations. When we chant the Maha Mantra, these are transcendental sound vibrations. That's why in the early days of this movement, the non-devotees would sometimes say, oh, you are chanting Hare Krishna, you should just chant Coca-Cola, get the same thing. But the devotees would laugh at these fools. Go ahead. You chant Coca-Cola for 1 hour. Go ahead. You'll simply get thirsty, and Coca-Cola won't quench your thirst. We will chant these transcendental sound vibrations, Hare Krishna, and we will see the result. All of you, any one of you who is regularly chanting, you're not a fool. You know what you're doing. You're not going to spend 1, 2, 3 hours a day chanting something and not get something from it. No, you're all intelligent. Actually, the Bhagavatam says you are all sumedasa, genius. Most intelligent. Why? Because you pick up this essential item of sankirtan, chanting the holy names of God, transcendental sound vibration. I'm not a fool. I'm not going to waste my time chanting Coca-Cola or anything other stupid thing. But I will spend 2-3 hours a day chanting transcendental sound vibrations, and I will get a taste of the full nectar for which everyone is anxious. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now because time is running out, I can't read all the verses of Hanuman. But there's one more verse from the Ramayana, which I feel, if you didn't hear anything this whole time, if you can join me on this, I will feel that this lecture has been a success. Now, although this verse is from the Ramayana, I found it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya was explaining the science of devotional service to Sanatan Goswami. And in the midst of that, Lord Chaitanya quoted this verse. The Sanskrit is easy, so let's try it. Please repeat. Sakrit Deva Prapanoyas Tavasmiti Chayachate Abhayang Sarvadat Tasmai Dadam Yetad Vratang Mama. Now, what did you just say? I will tell you. Now, what I want you all to do is fold your hands over your heart and repeat after me the English to what we just said. This is Lord Ramachandra speaking. So, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Lord said, please repeat. If one surrenders unto me, sincerely saying, my Lord, from this day, I am fully surrendered unto you. I, Lord Ramachandra, always give that person protection. That is my vow. So Lord Ramachandra, he's ideal. He's perfect in everything he does. Throughout the whole Ram Lila, everything Ram did, there was no flaw, no mistake. So his vow is that if you surrender unto him sincerely, this day, my Lord, from this day I am fully surrendered unto you, Lord Ram gives his protection. Forget about Allstate. They can't give you protection. No insurance policy can save you at the time of death. You may be the richest man in the world. How much can you take with you when Yamaraj comes knocking? Come, sir. You cannot take one microchip, not one penny. Nothing. You leave the way you came with nothing. So the real insurance are statements like this, where you pray to the Lord from the core of your heart, from this day I am yours. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Rama, Hare Hare. Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram. And whenever I am invited to speak on Lord Ram, I always want to remember one of the most significant incidents for me, and that is Jatayu. Because when Ravan had kidnapped Sita. He was flying in the sky. Jatayu, who is a bird, he's a devotee of Lord Ram, saw. He went to rescue Sita. But he was no match for Ravan. And Ravan killed him. So Jatayu was on the ground, breathing his last. It just so happened that Lakshman and Ram came at that time. And Jatayu explained how he tried to save Sita. And Lord Ram had Jatayu on his lap. So as Jatayu is breathing his last, he's looking at Ram, chanting, Ram, Ram, Ram. The conch shells blew. He went back to the kingdom of God. Lord Ramachandra Bhagavan ki.